Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. A lifetime is a long time. Second-guessing your choice of a mate is no fun, so today we're going to hear more principles to live by in making wise decisions about marriage. These principles come from all over the Bible, so get ready to flip a lot of pages as we spend time in the Word. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on the marriage puzzle. In the puzzle of the will of God, we've learned so far that God's will is more about being than doing, and that it does not mean all decisions are trouble-free.
You see, whenever there's trouble in our lives, the first thing we ask is, where's the escape hatch? Where's a divorce lawyer? How can I get out of this pain? Well, there's another question that we should try to ask, and that is, how do I bring glory to God in the midst of my predicament? And the answer to those questions might not be the same. How do we bring glory to God in the midst of our need? Because it supersedes personal happiness. God isn't into saying, now, you know, I'm committed to your happiness. I remember a woman saying to me, I want out of this marriage because I can't believe God would want me to be unhappy. Lady, what if Jesus had said that in Gethsemane? I can't believe the Father wants me to go through this pain. Let me go back to heaven and leave the world unredeemed. Now, the will of God is sometimes very difficult. Rebecca and I know a couple that have worked as missionaries, and they had to send their children to a school far away. And those children missed their mommy and daddy so much, and before they left, their daughter, who perhaps, I don't know, maybe she was 8 or 10 years old, she said, Mommy, why does Jesus ask us to do such hard things? Sometimes Jesus asks us to do very hard things. And so the will of God supersedes our personal happiness. It is God's will and not ours that is the big issue. Number four, God's will can be communicated in various ways. You say, well, how does he guide us? There are various ways that he guides us. For example, it says in Proverbs 11:14, in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom. One way that God guides us is, if you're facing an important decision, get with someone who has some wisdom and ask their opinion, or ask the opinion of a group of people whose opinions you can trust. Nowhere is this more important than in the business of finding a mate. Love is blind, but believe me, the neighbors aren't. And if you have a good family, your family isn't. Take their advice. So one way is the multitude of counselors. The other is Acts 17, where it says, Paul says, we essayed, we wanted to go to this certain place to preach, but he says the Holy Spirit prevented us. How did the Spirit prevent him? I'm not sure, but I know this, the Holy Spirit has prevented me from some terrible, terrible decisions. When I was in seminary, I met a young woman whom I shall call Anna. If you were to look at the way in which we met and all of the circumstances, there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that this was a match made in heaven. I mean, just really, I won't go into the details except to say that nobody could have put the pieces of this puzzle together except God. So that seemed to indicate that it was God's will. That's what really threw me off, is the circumstances. Furthermore, we really loved each other. That was a second component that was important. But there was something else, and that is this business of personal peace. Those who belong to God are led by the Spirit of God. And something happened within me as we got to know each other that brought me such deep depression and agony. I'm being very vulnerable here today, but it was like two rivers within me, one wanting to go this way and one wanting to go that way. I could hardly live. And yet all of the signs were, you know, obviously she's for you. My friends were saying, well, look at the way God brought you together, and on and on and on and on. But within my soul, there was this anguish. Finally, to make a very long story short, a story that should be short but turned out to be long. You know, some of us, it takes God a long time to get through to us. It's like the farmer that says the way to get a mule's attention is, first of all, the first thing you do is hit him over the head with a 2x4. I said to God one evening, if you're not in this, throw a brick at me. In the morning, I was so depressed, I couldn't get out of bed. And I got the message. Folks, if I had married that woman, subsequently knowing the way things turned out for her, I probably would not be in the ministry today. A couple of lessons to you young people. It's possible to be madly in love with someone whom you should not marry. Remember that. Another lesson. The peace of God should rule in your heart. There was a check in my spirit, a huge check. And I look back at that time with deep gratitude to God, saying, God, how could you be this good to me to have spared me? I don't know why God doesn't spare other people. He had another woman in mind for me whose name was Rebecca, the right one. Folks, God communicates his will in various ways. Don't tell me that just because you happen to meet at an airport in Seattle and you get along so well and you fall madly in love, don't come and tell me that that's a basis for finding the right one, unless there's some other things in place. Number 5, doing the will of God is not doubt-free. It's not doubt-free. It's not as if to say, well, all of our decisions can be made with 100% certainty. I wish that that were true, but Hutz, that's not been my experience. I don't know about you. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The church in Corinth is criticizing him because he planned to come and then he changed his mind. And they say, well, you know, does this mean that, you know, you're vacillating? You know, first of all, it's yes, then it's no, and so forth. And Paul is defending himself and saying, when it comes to Jesus, it's not yes and no, it's only yes. What he's saying is that the important thing is the gospel is to be preached. But here's the mighty apostle Paul changing his mind because he's not sure exactly what the mind of God is. Oftentimes we walk with God and we have to make decisions. I mean, you know, you can't endlessly sit on an opportunity to leave Chicago and go to Atlanta. They give you 2 weeks to decide. You can't do that forever. You have to decide. And sometimes we make decisions with trepidation and misgivings. But as we submit it to God, we do that trusting God. And my experience has been after we make a decision like that, then God begins to confirm it in this way, in this way, in this way. And you look back and say, I wonder why I agonized so much over this, because it's so clear that this is what I should have done. A number of years ago, I was walking through the forest preserve near our condo with little Samuel, our grandson. We actually have 3 grandsons. And I was walking with him when he was about 5. And we took a trail, and then we were coming back. And I said, Samuel, we have to go on this trail. And my grandchildren call me Papa. He said, no, Papa. No, Papa, we have to take this trail. And he was out by about, what, 85, 90 degrees? He'd have gone to a river, actually. I knew that forest preserve. I walked in it 100 times. I could even see the tops of our condo above the trees. No, Papa. No. I said, Samuel, you have to trust. And he said, yeah, Papa. He says, but it is so hard to trust. And then he walked behind me, kicking leaves as he went. Was he confident that this was going to end up? No, he had some misgivings, but after we turned the corner and saw the condo, I'm sure he thought, well, Papa's right. Listen, my friend, God knows all the trails and the forest preserves. But he can see around corners. You know what? It's hard to trust, but that is the best policy. I'd rather trust somebody who can see the future. Should always trust him. Number six, the will of God is often found not by walking so quickly, but rather by waiting. Now, this one needs explanation because it says, they who wait for the Lord, my soul expectation is from you. I wait before the Lord, the psalmist says over and over and over again. Now, don't misunderstand. When I say that we should wait before God, I do not mean passivity. What the psalmist means is you're waiting on God with a sense of expectation, a willing obedience. You're not manipulating, you're not panicking, but you're waiting. But you're working while you're waiting. And you're investigating while you're waiting. Because what you want to do is to walk with God, and you're trusting Him to guide you. Well, I don't know about you, my friend, but I know I needed this message because I have a tendency to not wait. My inclination is to say yes. As a matter of fact, my wife would say that I say yes to many invitations to speak and to do things. I say yes too quickly. To wait on God. Of course, as I emphasized, it is not passivity. It's not just waiting around for something to happen. But it is in God's presence, quietness, a willingness to be led. And that, I suppose, is the most important part about finding God's will, is a willingness to be led. To be absolutely clear about laying something on the table, so to speak, and then saying, God, I want your will and not my own. That's, of course, what Jesus prayed in the garden. And you and I should be praying that regularly. I find that many people enter into a bad marriage simply because they never really gave their relationship to God and before marriage said to him, God, I am willing to do whatever. If you don't want this marriage, I am willing to break this relationship. The best way that we can determine God's will is to wait, commit, believe. You know why? He is willing to guide us. And my experience is, he does.
Erwin Lutzer, with more of a message on the puzzle of the will of God, the fourth in a series on the marriage puzzle. Next time, principles 5, 6, and 7 in understanding God's will. The marriage puzzle series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.